So here we are today, and December 22nd, 2016, and the official solstice was yesterday. And yet, this is actually, my understanding anyway, is that it's not just one day. There are a few days where the sun stands still, which is the meaning of solstice. And I really like that meaning, the sun stands still. And it's a great message for all of us to pause. And even as I'm struggling with the darkness right now to try to be able to see my notes and so forth, I've just been contemplating and appreciating what a rich time of year it is for that pausing, for that standing still, and letting the darkness speak. So there are some wonderful talks by a meditation teacher on Dharma Seed, Donald Rothberg. And at this time of year, for the past several years, he's done great talks on the solstice. And there's a recent one from December 18th of this year. And so I have gotten a few wonderful ideas from listening to his talk and the older ones as well. And he talks about how we can explore the darkness in four ways, and you'll probably think of more. The first being just that pausing, that the darkness invites us to pause, to stand still. The second being the darkness, you know, makes us feel a little uncomfortable whenever we're in the dark, right? So we're in a place of not knowing. And so there's that invitation to step into some mystery. And of course, when we think of darkness, we think of difficult situations, challenging emotions and body sensations and experiences. And many of you commented on being with things as they are, and letting things be and go. And that's the heart of the practice. So this time of year is a real invitation to that heart of our practice, being with those dark moments. And then from all of this, there's growth. Things happen. There's a fertility. There's a generation or regeneration that happens. So I'll be pointing to these things throughout the day as we go through. And then beyond all that darkness, if we work with it in those ways, then there's a chance for some light. There's some chance for some joy to show up. So some reflections on stillness. So we might ask ourselves, what intentions do I need to be holding in mind that might help me to just be still, to just pause? And perhaps you've already reflected on that in the past few minutes. To remember that today and throughout the holiday seasons and the rest of our lives, really, those simple moments of pausing, connecting with our body, connecting with the breath, these are wonderful ways to come into some stillness. It's kind of, to me, it's like I always imagine an eye of a hurricane, right? We kind of stand in the eye of a hurricane. And when we do that. So it takes some persistence to do this. Yeah, it takes intention and it takes persistence, but it also takes a counterpoint of ease, of even playfulness, I would say, to pause in the midst of stormy moments. And to know it's just a storm that's going to pass, or it's just, you're just taking a moment, and here it is. So this listening deeply, listening inwardly, so important. There's a quote from Rilke who says, "All creation holds its breath," which I would finish as, "All creation holds its breath at this time of year." So we don't want to hold our breath, we want to breathe our breath, but it's this, it is this dramatic pause. And it's not for no reason that Christmas is on December 25th, when it seems like the sun is rising. So you can play with that metaphor however you like. So, here's a short piece. Where did it go? Oh, here it is. Now, it's called January, but that doesn't matter. John Updike, and he writes this little piece. He says, "The days are short, the sun a spark, hung thin between the dark and dark. Fat, snowy footsteps track the floor. Milk bottles burst outside the door. The river is a frozen place, held still beneath the trees of lace. The sky is low, the wind is gray. The radiator purrs all day." Kind of cute. And to the point, I love this. "The days are short, the sun a spark." A spark. And that the sky is low. It's so true. And I guess what I'm suggesting is, can we try to love it rather than push it away? Yeah. And let it speak to us about the mystery. So opening to the mystery that comes in these dark moments. Some of you did the Mindful Living grad course with me, and we talked about the hindrances to our practice of those moments where we're clinging after sensual experiences of the body, and those other moments we're trying to push experiences away, aversion, and those moments when we're sleepy, and those moments when we're restless and agitated and worried, and those moments when our minds are filled with doubt. And chances are you will experience all of these today. So it's wonderful to come for a day of practice for intentions of peace and quiet and so forth, and expect some of these rocky moments along the way. And so the trick is, can we open to these hindrances and the numerous other ones that we can all discover with some interest? And as the great meditation teacher Suzuki Roshi said, in the beginner's mind, in the beginner's mind are, I'm paraphrasing, in the beginner's mind are infinite possibilities. In the expert's mind, there are none. And so can we just remember that beginner's mind and open to that mystery? Something that usually happens on retreat days, on retreats, is we have remembrances of the past, and we have lots of calls to the future, especially at this time of day and this time of year. Yeah. And so let's, as best we can, we want to open to them, but not fuel them, not feed them. So important. So we can certainly get insight, but if we're just rehashing hamster wheel in our brain, that's not opening into any mystery. That's just playing the tape over and over and over again. So letting some of these darker concerns, letting them show, letting them be noted, and then really feel them through the body. as a way to open to, what might this possibly be teaching me? So opening to the mystery, a little mantra that I like to use, that we used when I was on pilgrimage in India a year ago, was, we'll see. Oh, I wonder what will happen. Oh, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. And Sylvia Boorstein, whom I adore as a meditation teacher, she'll say, let's see what happens next. Can we just be with this moment with an open heart, and let's just see what happens next. So we have, we'll have lots of opportunities to work with the difficult, the challenging, the dark moments. Remembering always the instruction around the two arrows, right? The first arrow happens to all of us. Nobody's immune. We all get afflicted by the arrows and slings of outrageous fortune. We all get that. And then we have a choice. Do we stab ourselves with the second arrow of regret, of remorse, unhealthy remorse, of blaming, of worry, of unskillful thought, a proliferation of thought that then often comes with a tightening in the body, and if there's physical pain, that gets worse. So to remember that as a way to be with the difficult. And then, of course, the rain practice, the recognition, the allowing, the acceptance, the investigation, the getting intimate, and the not identifying, or if you prefer, as Tara Brach is teaching these days, the nourishing as the N of rain. So, and so we open to the difficult with our mindfulness practice as long as we're feeling not too wobbly. But if we're feeling pretty wobbly, always feel free to shift into, say, a loving kindness practice. May I be safe. May I be healthy. May I be happy. May I live with ease. Or a gratitude practice. Or a self-compassion break that many of you know. Or other compassion practices. Or some equanimity phrases. Everyone's on his or her own life journey. It's not in my power to control all the things that happen to me or others. Can I learn to accept the arising and passing of all things with equanimity and balance? Find your own phrases, though. So it's very skillful to shift to these kinds of practices when we're feeling really wobbly, to not feel like you're cheating. Okay, that's working with the darkness, too. And the other practice that's also really helpful is sympathetic joy, rejoicing in the good fortunes of others. And we'll be doing that later today. So, so that's a lot of stuff about the dark. So just allowing ourselves to, through this, allow the opportunity for those little scintillations of light to show. It is indeed most people's experience that it is the darker, more difficult experiences of life that teach us the most. And probably everybody here is here because of some darkness, some suffering that happened in your life that led you to practice. That's a profound silver lining, to actually have this practice, and that the darkness led you to the practice. So that's a really important remembrance. And of course, as we practice, we can get not just those personal insights about how we may be operating and things we're holding on to, beliefs, and that we might feel that it's time to let go of. But we also get the more universal insights around recognizing, oh, things are passing. Nothing's permanent. What a relief. What a relief. And we can also have that universal understanding that everything that's happening is conditioned, arises out of a whole universe of conditions, most of which we did not cause. And so we can't control those. We can, though, do our best to respond. Yeah? So, and then the other part about the light that I've already mentioned is, you know, is we can deliberately cultivate the light with the gratitude practices, sympathetic joy, loving kindness, equanimity, compassion practices, acts of generosity, lots of things. So last few reflections. So really remember the gifts of the darkness. Think about where we all come from. We all come from the womb. We all come from the earth. We all are conceived in and first grow in darkness. And so that can help us to respect darkness. When we're children, when do we grow? We grow when we're sleeping. We grow during the night in the dark. This, you know, and there's all those seeds that are in the earth right now, and they look like they're not doing too much, but they're quietly busy. Mm-hmm. Quietly busy. And to let the question float throughout the day, I think could be helpful. What have you been incubating? What's been growing inside of you? What seed has been growing inside of you? What have you been incubating that you'd like to give light to? That you'd like to illuminate this season and in perhaps the coming year. So here's a poem. This is from Rolka. He's good for all this dark stuff. He said, I love the dark hours of my being. My mind deepens into them. There I can find, as in old letters, the days of my life already lived and held like a legend and understood. Then the knowing comes. I can open into another life that's wide and timeless.